The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources, which I will give you as I read the articles. We're going to start with an article from the AARP magazine, A Physician of Faith and Reason, A Tireless Geriatrician's Struggle to Save 1,200 Patients, and What It Says About a Looming Crisis for Older Americans. This is by Justin Noble. It is the middle of March in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Donnie Batty, M.D., has lost one of his closest relatives, his wife's sister, Gertie. There will be no formal funeral, however, no embraces, no flowers. Grieving will take place over the phone. And the memorial service itself, a ceremony in which a religious family like the Battys would gather and pray and sing and cry over the deceased, won't happen for many months. The coronavirus has come to the South. The death toll from the pandemic is piling up around the world, and now Battys' hometown of Baton Rouge is in the crosshairs. Perhaps no one is more central to the crisis here than this trim, handsome, lightly bearded, utterly unflappable 66-year-old physician, one of just a few dozen geriatricians in the entire state. In the coronavirus crisis, it is his patients who are most likely to die from the disease itself or from a myriad other ills that can't be attended to as an overtaxed health care system struggles to cope with the pandemic. There have been more than 2,000 cases in Louisiana and 153 deaths. Now remember, this was last spring. Yet, Batty has not lost a single patient to COVID-19. Most of my patients have mild symptoms, and the vast majority do fine, he says. But that doesn't mean he hasn't been impacted. His oldest patient, who is 103, has the coronavirus, but thus far is in stable condition at a skilled nursing facility. I have been checking on her once every few days. So far, she's doing fine, Batty says. A woman in her 60s, whom Batty has been treating for many years, lost her father to the virus, and it was Batty who helped her and her family process the death. Unfortunately, I have done it a lot, he says. One thing that a geriatrician deals with is death. Batty typically loses about one patient every month, often from heart disease. I ask how he handles speaking to someone who has just lost a loved one in regular times, let alone these times, when the sick cannot even be visited in their final moments. Batty pauses for a long moment. I am a physician of faith, he says. And I guess, over time, I have developed a skill set where I am able to work through that separation. I talk beyond just the medical. I express the belief that we are just passing through this world, that this is just a temporary setting for us. Even before most of the world had ever heard the word coronavirus, the word, Batty was already in the epicenter of a growing health crisis. Nationwide, the shortage of geriatricians is striking. Only about 7,000 physicians in total have the specific training needed to attend to the unique combination of ills that can haunt the approximately 49.2 million Americans who are 65 and older. In few states is the crisis of geriatricians as bad as it is in Louisiana. According to a 2018-19 American Board of Medical Specialties report, Louisiana has just 55 geriatricians. That's roughly one for every 13,016 potential patients. The system, Batty says, is broken down. Batty himself juggles about 2,000 patients, 1,200 of whom are older adults. In a medical crisis, Beatty is exactly the type of doctor you want managing your care. Like a fighter pilot, he is laconic and hyper-organized and a workaholic by nature and necessity. If you are a geriatrician in America, it is the only way to survive. Beatty works every day of the week, often from 7 a.m. till midnight, seeing patients not only in his office, but in 5 area nursing homes. His phone is his umbilical cord, says his wife, Veris. He gives his patients his number and will take calls in the middle of the night. Beatty has helped his patients get jobs, delivered their children's babies, and counseled them through difficult life scenarios. He approaches every crisis, including the COVID-19 pandemic, with a dogged Southern optimism. The situation has brought into focus elderly care, he says, looking me in the eyes, and hopefully can be turned into something good. I have wondered about how he keeps strong through it all, Veris tells me, but even she does not know the secret. What I know, she says, is he is a very caring man. He is very concerned about his patients. Beatty grew up and went to med school in Gainesville, Florida, before moving to Baton Rouge at age 24 to complete his residency in family medicine. Although he spent his childhood in Florida, I grew up in Baton Rouge, he says. The culture was different, the food was different, the politics were different, and the storms were different. Louisiana is more prone to severe flooding from hurricanes than Gainesville in the inland portion of northern Florida. The needs in terms of health care were different, too. Right after finishing his residency in 1983, Beatty worked in a pair of community centers, both located in poor sections of Baton Rouge. People in their 30s and 40s were bringing in their parents who were in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And that got me more interested in taking care of senior citizens, he says. In 1990, Beatty sat for the board certification exam in geriatrics, and he passed. He later served as the Associate Director of Community Affairs for the Family Medicine Residency Program at Baton Rouge General Medical Center, and on a series of committees with the state's governor. His work has informed his efforts to build a healthy lifestyle for himself and his family. Beatty practices square foot gardening, a method conceived in the 1970s by civil engineer Mel Bartholomew that suits Beatty's well-ordered mindset. It involves a rigid routine of soil tending and weed care, planting in squares rather than rows. He grows okra, tomatoes, mustard greens, spinach, Swiss chard, watermelon, squash, and in large flower pots, pineapples. In his practice every day, Beatty sees chronic disease connected to poor eating habits, specifically uncontrolled hypertension, kidney disease, and diabetes. Unfortunately, I am in a state where eating is celebrated, he says. There is a segment of the population that says, I would rather die eating something I enjoy than taking care of my health. And that makes it very hard to diet and exercise. Income level and economic status play a role, too. You can eat healthy while poor, Beatty says, but it's a little harder. Service to others is a Beatty family value. Their son, Theron, a former board member for Habitat for Humanity, now lives in Chicago and is training to be a pilot. Daughter Crystal, a pediatric registered nurse, still lives in Baton Rouge and continues to join Donnie and Veris for services at South Baton Rouge Church of Christ. That is, until the age of coronavirus. Now, worship for everybody is via Zoom. The pastor and some members of the choir are the only ones in the actual church. Prayers are sent out over the phone to a nervous congregation. Beatty will not tell me that he is frightened, but Versus is more forthcoming. I have prayed and I have asked God to remove the virus from not just the United States, but the world, she says. This is the time for prayer, she adds. We can never have too much prayer. By mid-April, the Corona-19 virus in the United States has grown even more dangerous for older Americans, but that reality is bringing America's geriatrician shortage into a new and harsher focus, as Beatty suggested. the virus presents a challenge not only to older people, but to untrained doctors unfamiliar with older patients' response to the infection itself and to various health interventions. For example, the Global Health Council on Brain Health recently reported that half of people over 65 will experience post-surgery delirium. We were at a place where there was still a shortage of ventilators, said Michelle Saunders, a national expert in geriatric health professions, education, and former president of the Gerontological Society of America. A non-geriatrician might assume the older person is permanently confused and triage him or her to a lower priority for a ventilator. That would be disastrous for a temporarily confused older adult. The shortage of geriatricians in the United States has many causes, but a primary one is demographics. Within just a couple of decades, older people are projected to outnumber children for the first time in U.S. history, reaching 77 million by 2034, the Census Bureau recently reported. At the number of doctors in training going into geriatric medicine is not keeping up. Over the last 10 years, the number of certified geriatricians in America has stayed pretty flat, says Elizabeth Bragg, an associate professor in the School of Nursing at Xavier University in Cincinnati and author of numerous papers on the topic. One reason for that is money. A 2017 survey by the Association of American Medical Colleges reported that medical students are typically graduating from four-year programs with debts of around $190,000. That motivates new doctors to avoid choosing to become geriatricians, whose pay is significantly lower than those of other specialists. According to the Medscape Physician Compensation Report 2020, the average orthopedist makes $500,000 annually. The average cardiologist makes $438,000. And the average anesthesiologist makes $398,000. Meanwhile, the median salary for a geriatrician is about $240,000. Geriatricians must invest time in additional education, yet there is little financial upside. This article continues at length, but I'm going to read you the final paragraphs. Now it is June, and the situation in Louisiana appears to be turning a corner. Despite nearly 2,845 deaths in the state and 252 in East Baton Rouge alone, Beatty still has yet to lose a patient. And fatalities in the state have dropped from more than 100 a day in mid-April to as little as a few dozen. But reminders are everywhere that things have not returned to normal. Services at Baton Rouge Church of Christ continue to be held via Zoom, and the doctor's cherished breakfast with friends at Frank's, a popular family-run spot that claims the best homemade biscuits in the world, have not yet resumed. I check in one more time with some of Beatty's patients who are all doing well and bursting with gratitude for his care and attention. This brings up a natural avenue of inquiry. Beatty is 66 himself, working 7 days a week in a stress-laden environment during the nation's worst medical crisis in 100 years. What would happen to these families if Beatty ever retired? I really don't think he wants to retire, Hills said, but I'll tell you another thing. As long as he is not dead, his patients are not going to want to see anyone else. Now let's move on to an article from the Essential Retirement Guide. Extra income options, working in retirement. A part-time job offers financial and social benefits. Some part-time work may be more rewarding than you initially think. And even in this time, there's opportunities for this. Today, people who retire at 65 should plan for at least 30 years of retirement. That's an awfully long time to spend simply pursuing your hobbies and reading novels. Though fun at first, you might find that not working at all eventually leaves you yearning for the fulfillment and social engagement that a job can provide. Plus, a little extra income never hurt either. Consider these advantages of continuing to work part-time after retirement. Postpone drawing on your investments. Working may not be what you had in mind for your days post-retirement, but earning a little extra cash might allow you to delay drawing down your investment portfolio's principal. Not only does this preserve your principal for later years, it also allows your investments to grow and provides more opportunities for you to add to your savings, which could leave you a bigger nest egg for later on. And you can collect bigger Social Security checks. Working longer might also allow you to delay claiming Social Security checks if you aren't already claiming benefits. The longer you're able to put off receiving Social Security payments until age 70, the larger your checks will be when you do start collecting. If you can continue working after you're retired, you'll get the benefit of a boost to your monthly Social Security payment. And we have a sidebar here. Landing a part-time job with health insurance also can allow early retirees access to affordable health care until they're eligible for Medicare. And now back to AARP, the magazine. Let's have a total change of venue here. Drew Berryman, what I know about you now, or what I know now, she says. Nearly four decades after E.T., the actress riffs on optimism, breastbearing, and the joys of motherhood. On the bright side, I'm always looking for the good in people, a true optimist. But I have a little wink and bite with that optimism, and I'm still a little naughty. Flashing Letterman, I was an absolute free spirit. Glad I got that out of my system, because I'm a Puritan old lady now. I wear clothes up to my neck. United in 2020. Nostradamus couldn't have seen this year coming. We have to meet the moment and try to do that in a non-alienating way. Self-righteousness is one of life's biggest turnoffs. I never want to be in a divide with people. Quarantining. Honestly, I wasn't doing well for a while. I was alone with my two daughters. Olive is 8 and Frankie 6. For a few months without help, trying to do it all. But looking back, it's something I will wear as a badge of honor. Staying home. There is going to be so much that comes out of this year that we will never forget. Stolen time. That found time with the people we were with will forever burn in our memory banks. Boys on the side. I've spent my entire life trying to figure out relationships, and now I'm exhausted and happy to be rid of that burden. I love my two little girls so much. My cup runneth over. I don't have room for romance. Being a mom. I am an all-in, caring parent with traditions and values, and my girls are the number one catalyst for me having my S blank 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 together. Emotionally, spiritually, patience-wise, letting go of stuff and taking the higher road. But I'm also bohemian and silly and will even bark like a dog when my kids excite me. Family movies. My family were actors and I didn't really have them growing up, so I would watch their movies and read their books to connect with them. I'm around for my kids, but they love E.T., and Ever After, and 51st Dates. It's a neat photo album, a treasure box for them. Staying healthy. Hollywood's priority to stay thin, look young, and be picture perfect revolts me. If I'm not eating right or exercising enough, I'll do something about it. But I'm not going to diet and exercise all day long just to look a certain way. And finally, good news television. My new talk show is Optimism TV. To reach joy, you have to work at it. I don't want to fall into the talk show trap where everybody's coming to promote a film. I want to have writers, musicians, artists, and hopefully that dad with the YouTube channel who helps people without dads. So this was an interview as told to Natasha Stoyanov. And it's about Golden Globe winner Drew Barrymore at 45 And as she debuted her CBS daytime series, The Drew Barrymore Show, last September. Now, how about some chat about the healthy you? And here we have the ultimate immunity smoothie. Support your defenses with a nutrient-packed drink. The ingredients for this are 1 cup of plain vitamin D fortifier kefir, or 1/2 cup plain yogurt and 1/2 cup fortified milk, 1/2 banana, fresh or frozen, for sweetness and creaminess, 1 cup of frozen strawberries, mango or pineapple, 1 tablespoon almond butter, 1 cup of fresh spinach leaves, and 1 teaspoon of chia seeds, and then finally 1 scoop of protein powder, which is optional. Blend the ingredients together for about a minute until smooth. Add water or ice to change the consistency or temperature to your preference. Kefir is for probiotics. The majority of our immune system resides in our gut, says Manhasset, New York dietitian Julie Kramer. It's important that we support the microbiome there with healthy bacteria. Kefir is a fermented milk product loaded with probiotic microorganisms. You can also substitute unsweetened yogurt. Pineapple is for vitamin C. To sweeten your smoothie, opt for fruits like pineapple, citrus, and berries that are high in vitamin C, which is crucial to immune function. Substitutes are strawberries, kiwi, papaya, or mango. Fortified dairy for vitamin D. Adequate vitamin D helps protect against flu and other infections. Options: milk or unsweetened yogurt fortified with vitamin D. Spinach is for iron. These leafy greens are rich in iron as well as folate, a B vitamin that helps support the immune response. Substitutes: peanut butter and steamed kale. Almond butter for magnesium and vitamin E. Both nutrients found in nuts and seeds support immunity and heart health. Substitutes are peanuts, cashews, or sunflower seed butter, chia, flax, or hemp seeds. Chia seeds are for zinc. Zinc helps the immune system fight off bacteria and viruses. Substitutes are hemp or flax seeds. And finally, pick your protein. Whether you get it from soy, cow's milk, or plant or whey-based protein powder, protein is vital to building and repairing the body's cells, including those that fight infection. Now, also from the AARP magazine, we're going to talk about the other epidemic. Widespread worry is sparking a new huge wave of scam activity in America. This is by Doug Shadle. Back in April, I was in a panic. The COVID-19 crisis was growing, and I was unable to find face masks for my family. But then I started seeing ads for them on Facebook. Normally, I'd never consider such an offer, but in desperation, I clicked through, ordered 3 masks for $26, and never heard from the seller again. Yours truly was deceived by a scammer. Since then, I've heard story after story about bad consumer decisions made since the pandemic began. At the AARP Fraud Watch Network, our helpline has been ringing off the hook since March, with members reporting ripoffs. What's going on? It appears that the crisis is making us crazy emotionally, and as I've often said, strong emotions can hijack our logical reasoning. For years, every fraudster we've interviewed has told us that the key to cheating people is to get them into a heightened emotional state so they can be more easily manipulated. A while back, AARP partnered with the Wall Street Regular FINRA, F-I-N-R-A, and Stanford University to test the emotional fraud connection. We had subjects play a computer game. A third were rigged to make the player lose money. Another third were rigged to win. The last third were rigged so players roughly broke even. The goal: deliberately spark the first two groups' emotions. Next, we asked them to review several ads for fraudulent offers. The result: significantly more of those in a heightened emotional state, both positive and negative, said they would buy the products. Fast forward to now. How many Americans are not in a heightened emotional state over the pandemic, the economy, our future? Sadly, that makes this a harvest season for scammers. They don't even need to be cunning. Merely offering a face mask worked on me. You know the solutions. Be aware of your emotions during clicking on a link or buying something from an unknown seller. Always wait 24 hours before making a big purchase. Use established, well-known retailers that stand by their products. Don't answer a call if you don't recognize the number. Let the caller leave a message for you to assess. Be extremely dubious of any caller claiming to be from a government agency or a tech support company. This is almost always a fraud. In short, give the thinking part of your brain a fighting chance against the clouding effects of pandemic-induced emotions so you can make decisions that are best for you. And you can also get notified about the latest scams and receive tips on how to protect yourself at aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. Now a feel-good story from AARP. I'm here for her no matter what. Caregiver Iona Nevesky goes out 5 days a week to look after her 97-year-old client and friend. As the COVID-19 crisis spread, my family and friends begged me to stop working. They worried about my safety and wanted me to stay home, but I wouldn't consider it, not for a minute. For the past 6 years, every weekday morning, I've driven 3 miles from the house I share with my daughter, her husband, and my grandson in El Segundo, California, to help my client, Judith. She's 97, and during the pandemic, I'm the only one she sees. Why would I abandon her now? It's out of the question. No one should be forgotten. But there have been some changes. Before the stay-in-place order, I would take Judith to the supermarket, get her hair done, or just take a drive to get out of the house. And, of course, I always accompanied her to doctor's appointments. Now we stay close to home, but she still counts on me to help prepare meals and organize her medications. And we enjoy our conversations. I learn a lot, especially about American political history, since it's a subject that has always captivated her. As importantly, we rely on each other for emotional support. When I first started working with Judith, her husband of many years had just passed away and she wept a lot. Since I had lost my husband 6 years earlier, I recognized that she was deep into her grief. As time passed, we were able to heal together. I believe our individual grief lessened because of our shared experience. We've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.